you're still stewing on that emotion. So get someone to proofread it with you, and they might pick out just one or two sentences that were just that little bit too emotional to show that you weren't actually responding in kind. Hello and welcome to the PyBytes podcast, where we talk about Python, career, and mindset. We're your hosts. I'm Julian Sequeira.
And I am Bob Beldebos. If you're looking to improve your Python, your career, and learn the mindset for success, this is the podcast for you. Let's get started.
Welcome to another PyBytes podcast episode. This is Julian, and I'm here with Bob. How are you, man?
Hey, man. I'm good. Excited to record another one. How are you?
I know. I'm good. It's been a long week. It's only Wednesday, but, you know, we'll get there. It's almost Friday. Let's jump in. We're going to make this a quick one. We just want it to be quick, functional, applicable. So what are we going to talk about today?
You're clearly taking the emotion out of this.
Oh, I shouldn't laugh. I've got to be serious. Yes, yeah, so that's nice. I appreciate that. Well, we're going to talk about taking emotion out of situations, making sure you're not responding emotionally, and how that can really impact you. And really, it's the people that, if you were going to use the term loosely, are successful. They're the people who learn to control their emotions and recognize when it's happening and be able to make sure that they don't respond in that way, because that's when you're not thinking straight.
Got a dumb question. Does this relate to Python developers as well?
Not at all. We're Python developers. We're completely balanced.
Okay.
Not emotional. Not emotional at all. No, it's actually very applicable, as always, because the code review process is totally a stressful process in even the best of cases, right? You might have done your best work, but still you've got to get people's eyes on it. And for better or worse, you know, people will always give you feedback. And the thing is, that feedback could be, you know, well-intentioned, but the words that they use, the text that's written, may come across as in a different way and may upset you a bit. Have you ever come across anything like that?
Totally. Yeah. Like it's sometimes very hard to decouple it and not be emotional about it. Because it sometimes feels like a personal attack, right? Or, oh, my code sucks. Or, you know, but it's very hard to also from the other side of the code review, right? To give that constructive feedback and not to come off harsh, right? And it's not only in code reviews, it's also like on social media and people comment, right? It's very hard to not get emotional about it. Because and words are can be very misleading. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, on the code, bringing it back to the code review, maybe the intention was just and will be to make your code better and to think at a global scale. Like, this code needs to be robust and reliable and secure. So it's more like you're thinking about the greater good, right?
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. So, okay. So I'm going to quickly take a bit of a step back. What is the problem with having emotion in your responses?
I think it clouds your vision and makes you potentially say or do things you regret or you are not in your best interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think it can stoke the flames, you know, it can make things worse. It can start fights and burn bridges when there was no need. Sometimes, you know, you get those snarky emails from people because they didn't control their emotions. And it's like what you tend to teach your kids: just because someone pushed you doesn't mean you push them back. Mm. Right. It's like putting
gasoline on the fire, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the worst part is if it's via email or something, you can't take it back. It's there forever.
Set in stone. Yeah,
exactly. So the key here is that you have to rise above it, right? You have to be better than they are. And one of the things I always tell myself is by you don't have to swallow it. You know, you don't have to sit here and just take it, but find a way to write a response that clearly shows that you're taking the higher ground in an email. And it sounds kind of funny, but what it ends up doing is it shows people that you're bigger than that. You're not going to stoop to that level. But also it breaks them out of the cycle. That's one of my favorite things. You can't be mad at someone who is not fighting back. You know, it's very difficult to, especially through email, through text, through code review, whatever. If they're not responding in kind and they're being completely polite and kind back, it's very difficult to keep angry and fight. So that's one of my tips. If we're going to kick off some tips here, it's just, you know, respond the way that's going to diffuse the situation. Respond in a way that you would teach your kids if you had them, if someone was being mean to them. You know, you want to either walk away from the situation, or you want to come in there and just be completely polite, be completely relaxed, and diffuse it through essentially being nice and just getting straight to the point.
And straight to the point being the solution, right? Like you focus exactly on the result and not on...
Yeah. So using language like, you know, so how can we work together to find the solution here? Or, you know, what do you actually asking for their opinion? A lot of people who are aggressive in email, it's because they feel like they were attacked or they weren't actually engaged for their opinion or thoughts and all that stuff. So by just opening up and saying, well, tell us what you think.
Right.
You know, gives them that pedestal, and they a lot of people find it difficult to be angry and aggressive in that situation.
Yeah, you kind of hold two emotions at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to ask you, what's a tip you have for the email, the code review, like the text side of it, for dealing with that when you're feeling emotional?
Yeah, one thing for email, for example, is don't reply like the same minute. Like there's no need for a response to go out immediately, right? Email is designed that you can answer at your own leisure, right? So it might be worth it to sit on it for a few hours, even a few days. It might even be worth it to write up your draft, maybe not do it in the email to prevent accidents, just do it in your editor, you know, and save it and let it marinate, you know? Mm-hmm. And you get back to it, and what usually happens, like these four paragraph email, you get it down to two sentences, just as you said before, focusing on what's the problem you're trying to solve, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. And what do you do with the draft the next day?
Burn it.
I wanted to hear you say it. Burn it to the ground. It's true, right? I mean, you know what? I don't actually trust myself with the email side of it. So I can't even write it into Outlook or Gmail or something.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, do it in your editor.
Yeah, that's it. That's me. I don't trust myself.
Even a side note on the technology, you have to love technology, right? Because even you think that everything is editable, right? But if you type stuff in Slack, I think sometimes I just instantly send an email like, this person wrote you this. And then you think you can still edit it in Slack, but the email notification already went out and emails are final, right? So
just go with a standard Vim or Notepad file locally. There you go. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, the takeaway, the tip being, don't just jump on it. Let it, because emotions, as I like that word, right, are insidious. That you think you're clear, but you're not, right? So it's good to cool down, give it a cool down period, as they say, right?
Yeah. And if, you know, the slight addition to that tip is if you have someone at work or wherever it is that, you know, you're seeing these emails that you trust, that's a good friend, don't send it to them, but, you know, get them to come around and have a look, do a screen share with them, something that you're not going to risk sending it off, right? But get someone to have a read of your response. And if obviously your super emotional response where you're getting all your feelings out into a text file, you're never going to even want someone to look at that. But if you are actually crafting a well thought out response because a day later you're still stewing on this a bit, even though you think it's well-intentioned and well-written, you're still stewing on that emotion. So get someone to proofread it with you, and they might pick out just one or two sentences that were just that little bit too emotional to show that you weren't actually responding in kind. and you don't want to trigger anything. So there's another tip. Get someone you trust.
You have blind spots, right? And you need somebody else to point it out because you're just not seeing it yourself, right?
Yeah.
Also, another tip I want to highlight in regards to this is choose the right medium, because email threads tend to get very long. Also, be very cautious about copying too many people on a thread, and the CCs, that's very bad. But maybe it's just way easier to pick up the phone and talk it out. 10 minutes, you have this direct conversation back and forth, and that not only saves you time, but the other person gets that pedestal, as you said, or that opportunity to explain themselves better. And yeah, so pick the right medium, basically.
Yeah. And, you know, that's just comes back to that thing. I think we've mentioned it before, just that through text, there's no tone. You have no way of knowing what that person was doing. You know, if we're sitting here over a phone call, though, or a Zoom call or whatever, you know, we can sit here and know that, oh, he's actually not being a jerk. He's just half asleep at his desk, or he's actually smiling as he says that. Oh, wow, he's actually trying to be constructive. He's not trying to be destructive. Yeah. So, yeah, the tone matters. On that note, I'll jump to my last one, which was, you know, what if you're in a meeting, like physically in front of people, right? Mm. You can't, you're not hiding behind an email. So I think just that this is the hardest one, right? To not just get upset in front of other people. So I think we're well trained enough that we'll never get upset in front of a group of people, right? But a lot of us will just soak it in, not say anything, walk away, and then spend the next week upset, you know? So I think one of the things to do is, you know, have the confidence to speak up, but take a breath first. You know, for me, I always find the deep breath, the silence in the room breaks up the mood. Just taking that breath before you respond allows your brain to reset the situation, you know, because someone might say something that triggers you. Like when Bob says that Flask is terrible, right? No, I'm just kidding. But if someone says something,
Django, or the emotion really comes out here.
But if, you know, taking the kids for example, right? They don't mean what they say. They don't even know what they're doing half the time. But if they do something that really irks me, I'll take a breath, and just that 1 second allows that emotion to subside just enough for my brain to think clearly, and say, they don't, you know, you don't have to respond like that. Just get back to the point. Let's talk it out.
That's great advice. Yeah. Because it's very easy to, if you take kids literally, you probably have a problem because they're wired different. I think we mentioned that before when we were reading those books, right? And if you take that literally, then yeah, you're fuming, right?
Yeah.
But if you have that extra second to realize, oh, no, wait, they're wired differently, I need to take this other approach, right? Totally different response.
So, all right. So the last one for you, Bob, is in a code review. If you get a comment in a code review, you know, how that you feel might be kind of rough, whatever, how would you respond to that?
Yeah, I think that's where we started the conversation about acknowledging it and just show that you're open to it. Just humbling, like, yeah, I'm here to learn. And I'm not going against it. Like, what you're saying is ridiculous. This is, you cannot do this design pattern because it sucks. It's wrong. No, I would never respond like that, right? I always treat the other person respectfully and just, again, bring it back, like, what needs to change? What is the rationale? And then, but I'll always being open to challenge my own thinking, right? Because you can always improve, right? I think that comes down to that, being humble and realizing we're all learning. Yeah, and that every piece of feedback can contribute to that learning.
Yeah. Well, that's you bang on, and I'll add to it by saying, if you ever want the context, you know, just ask them for it. One thing that's helped as well is actually doing code reviews. You can see that if you're doing many, like lots of code reviews every day, week, whatever, it can be taxing writing extremely detailed comments for everything you want to point out. So sometimes people will sit there and just throw in quick one-liners, like too many ifs or whatever, you know, whatever it happens to be. But that can come off as jarring, when really it's just this person doesn't have the time to write 500 comments every 2 seconds. So having that perspective allows you to say, yeah, okay, they're just doing what they do. It's code review.
Does Dear fellow coders, I hope my terse answers are understood. Yeah,
this was not a stab at
you. Harsh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You know what? This was a subconscious stab at your code reviews.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. All right.
Well, I won't get emotional.
Oh, that was the perfect. We've gone full circle. I think it's time to end the episode.
I think that's anything, it. Yeah.
I think that's it.
Any wins you want to add? And or books you want to share?
Wins. Okay. Something I'm going to share, which is big news. So we sold our house this week.
Wow.
So anyone, you know, that whole goal thing about chasing your goals, chasing your dreams, we always waffle on about. We're living it. We're living it. We just said it's about time. It's about time. We just did the research and
patience and consistency, right? It's all process. Yeah.
Yep. Just having the guts to dive right in, and you know, you have enough of a fail safe. It's not perfect. Things can definitely go wrong, but we'll survive. If we don't chase it now, we're never going to get there, right? So
nice.
What about you?
Really exciting. Win MVP ready of one of an app service we're building.
Ooh.
Soon to be announced or shared more about.
Soon. I know we were dying to talk about these last week, weren't we? But
cannot yet. But definitely, yeah. Coded the whole thing in Django and AWS and Bootstrap, and just really satisfying.
Yeah, amazing. So
that's a win.
How were the code reviews on that?
I think you have a few left, right?
Yeah, quite a few. All right. Well, look, everyone, as always, thank you so much for listening and for tuning in every week. Really, we really appreciate it. I will add before we jump that if these sorts of topics that Bob and I talk about on the podcast, this is exactly the sort of thing we cover in PDM, the coaching program we run. So if you are interested, please reach out. We cover all things from career, mindset, and coding. So throw that in.
It's not just a coding program. The mindset is heavily represented there as well. And people often say it's as important, if not more important, than the actual coding skills.
They get surprised that when they figure that out by the end, they think, oh, it's just a coding thing.
They didn't expect that, right? Yeah.
And then they get to the end, they go, actually, the mindset was sweet.
No, cool. I will add on top of that we produce this show for you. So if there are topics you're curious about or want to hear more about, then please reach out to us through our website or Slack. It's easy to hit us up. And we really want to cover things that are most beneficial for you.
Beautiful. All right. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week.
All right, man. Talk next week. We hope you enjoyed this episode. To hear more from us, go to pybit.com/friends. That is pybit.com/friends and receive a free gift just for being a friend of the show.
And to join our thriving Slack community of Python programmers, go to pybit.com/community. That's pybit.com/community. We hope to see you there and catch you in the next episode.